Hello and welcome to episode 6 of In The Post Podcast. I'm Alan, on my left.
It's me, John.
I'm alright.
It's me, Sam.
How's everyone's week been?
Yeah, all good. Played basketball, got a new watch, Casio. Good stuff.
That sounds like a top week.
It was pretty good.
That's probably what? Top 5 of the year?
Well, how many's there been? I'd say number 1 week.
Number 1 week.
Boring old week, played basketball, something I don't enjoy as much, but what you doing?
Fair enough. Not bad then. It's actually been my number 1 week of the year because you got a Casio watch. I was so happy for you. It's good.
It lights up and all sorts. I can see the time in the dark. Crazy.
That's handy then. It's because sundials have gone out of fashion a little bit these days.
Yeah, you know. Phones. What are phones? Run out of battery. That's what phones do.
Casios, they last for years.
They do. And water resistant.
I can go
cave scuba diving and I'll be fine.
But waterproof, you don't strictly need. Water resistant, you know, it's England. We're going to get showers.
There you go.
You know, you don't want to...
And the best part, £6.
£6.
Is it real?
That's like €9.
Fake.
That's like €9. Speaking of a 9-euro team, Sacramento. Oh, that's harsh. Harsh on Sacramento Kings. No, actually, there's positive things you want to say about them. Go on.
Nope, I'm picking them as a good team. If they get it together, it could be the greatest project of a team that's going to implode, or it could be a team that could go 6th, 7th, 8th seed.
It's the biggest if team in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to see how... Because at the moment, Cauley-Stein's really lighting up the Summer League.
I like him.
And I think playing Boogie at the 4 and having Cauley-Stein as the 5, he's going to alter shots, and obviously Boogie's going to get more of an offensive look. Cauley-Stein's weakness being his rebounding skills, but obviously you've got Boogie who's going to mop up for him.
No, it's going to be a good bit of chemistry. I mean, look at the lineup. We've got point guard.
Rondo.
Now, that's probably the biggest if. But then you've got shooting guard Bellinelli. He's got that Spurs system. He won't demand the ball that much of Rondo. So that
will make Romford happy. Rondo happy.
I mean, Bellinelli, he can shoot. Rondo can't. Rondo wants the ball. Bellinelli's not that fast. So that should work. Rudy Gay, you got a bit of everything.
Yep.
Then Boogie in I would say his more natural position at the 4. And Cauley-Stein just being a mop-up block city centre. It could really work. I mean, they still need a bench.
I was pretty glad they didn't get
Bargnani. Oh, that would have been... And if they got Bargnani and Josh Smith, just
the carnage. That would have been the biggest if team, Ben.
I think that would have made it worse, even though they're bringing in... Like, Josh Smith is, like, he's rebuilt his reputation. He's actually a little bit better player now. But it would have made that team worse. It would have been too much. Too many chefs, you know, spoiling the broth. But, the Rondo is the biggest question for me. How do you feel Sacramento are going to do?
No, I don't think Rondo will be that big of an if. The big issue when he was with Dallas was the fact that Ellis was there with the ball. And now he's got...
Freedom
with Bellinelli, who's just going to probably try and run off screens and things like that.
Get his shots.
He ain't going to want the ball. It's a dribble anyway.
Boogie's going to get his touches.
Yeah, and he's probably going to get more in the paint. He ain't going to be wanting to bring it up unless he wants to coast-to-coast it and dunk on Jay Crowder like he did before. But, you know...
I think we'll have some highlights of that later on.
That's good.
So they've still got a little bit of time. Is there anyone in free agency do you think they could add? Do you think they'll go for Josh Smith still?
Josh Smith or even a backup centre. So JaVale McGee,
taking him off the Mavs. We need him. We need him, unfortunately. We need him. I think, just to wrap up Sacramento, I think they're going to be better than what people think.
Yeah, I think they're a team that at the moment is not a laughing stock per se, but it is, this team's going to implode. But if that team does work, if it does gel, that team's got potential.
500 team?
If
you've got to make it now.
Yes.
We're going to look at the Texans, yes?
I don't know, it is going to be one of them teams where it's going to be, they're going to end up winning one game by like 40 points, and then the next game they're going to like get 50 points.
Yeah.
And they're going to get absolutely destroyed. But they just got to get that gel. They could make 500, but again, the West.
Could you see a weakness in that team, though, thinking about it? Because Rondo, obviously, good perimeter defence. You've got Boogie and Cauley-Stein is going to be man in the middle. Rudy Gay is not really a slacker on. on his perimeter defence. And obviously Bellinelli might let his man go, but they're running into that defence.
True, but I think
it's going to be the bench will probably be the bigger
and
issue.
You know, playoff rondo didn't happen last year. I know, I think it still hasn't been proven whether that was just a Mavs thing or whether that's just a rondo after injury thing. So this is going to be a wait and see. I mean, he bet on himself. Even though he got a $10 million deal, it was only a one-year deal. So they're really testing each other out. Sacramento, they've got a low risk with him. It's got a low risk with Rondo, same with the Kings as well. So they're really betting on each other.
Still got Darren Collinson.
Oh, yeah, they've also got Ben McLemore, who's still developing.
Yeah.
They've got a couple of pieces.
The only thing they really lost was Nick Stauskas, but other than that...
So you're definitely a 500 team.
You don't know, do you? It's going to be.
Got to be yes or no. We're going to look at this in the future.
No.
No.
The West is too difficult.
I'm going to go no as well. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be like 38 wins or something.
Well, you think your Dallas team, cut to see, like when they're getting 500, like it's a good team, and it's like.
Well, we got 500 with Mike James, OJ Mayo, old man Sean Marion, injured knee Dirk, and Chris Kaman. I don't know how the hell we done that. I think that's a miracle.
Yeah.
But the West is harder.
Yeah.
Even though a couple of years ago it was hard as it is. That's impressive. I can't believe we've done that. So, yeah, I'm going to go 38 wins, but we'll do that in our season preview anyway. Right, now, because of the off-season, not really much is happening. I mean, summer league. A couple of good players. Towns yesterday got 20-10-3. Good shooting. That was always nice to see. But not really much that we can take from. So we thought we'd have a bit of fun and have a division all-star game. So if there was, each division had to make a starting five of each player in a team, which division would win? Now, the Southwest is going to win, let's face it. The Southwest has got to win. But we went through the teams. The Atlantic division, this was unanimous. We all agreed on this starting lineup. We'd have Kyle Lowry as point guard, Marcus Smart as the other guard, not strictly a shooting guard, but just the second guard, really. Yeah. Melo, Nerlens Noel, power forward, and Brook Lopez as the centre. We mainly went like that because I think Okafor's still a bit young.
Brook Lopez,
when he's healthy, he's a really good player. Any comments on that, or is it pretty straightforward?
I think it's a pretty much straightforward thing. Brook Lopez as well being more of a solid pick because Okafor's got to develop. He's known for his offence more than his defence. So Noel obviously known for his defence. Brook Lopez is known for both. So I think the weakness of Okafor not having a great defensive game, Lopez makes up for it. So
yeah. What about DeRozan losing a spot to Smart and Melo? Melo's fair enough, but he could play shooting guard with Smart.
I don't like DeRozan. I don't think he's a great player, in my opinion. Obviously, since he came off his injury, he just didn't look the same.
He's
player.
He's really inefficient, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that. And with Smart, you got a lot more potential with Smart to become.
I would have picked Smart because I think it would have complemented Lowry more. Lowry can do his thing. Smart can do the odd shot and just defend. Now, this isn't strictly just for an All-Star game. It is kind of just for like a playoff run, but like an All-Star. Team,
yeah.
But just as a sort of, if you were building the playoffs. Okay, so I mean, that's a pretty good team. They could do work in any league. Central Division. Now, this is where we had a bit of arguments. There was fights and everything. It was quite bloody, actually.
It happened.
I do apologise for that shanking. Kyrie Irving as a point guard was, like, fair enough.
Yeah, then, maybe a bit of competition from Rose, but obviously Irving's been playing a bit of basketball. Recent seasons.
Well, you go through your two team that you more agreed on, and we pretty much
went for the same choice. We went Kyrie at the point, Jimmy Butler running the two guard, LeBron at the three, Powell on the four, mainly because Pau Gasol last season had a better run than Kevin Love did, and obviously Timothy Mozgov's season last season was impressive.
Yeah, I can understand putting in Mozgov. I went a little bit different, Kyrie Irving and Butler, but I think I just couldn't leave out the Pacers' Paul George. I think, although he had that injury, I think he's a better fit for this team. And I put LeBron at the four, dropping Pau Gasol for him. I think the defence of Butler, Paul George and LeBron three very, very good two-way players would be very good. And then their centre, I was tempted with Bozkov, but I just saw getting Drummond. He's a bit young and a bit inexperienced. But with the other players around him, I think he could be young. And that's a really young team. You've got a young Kyrie, young Butler. George is still young. Drummond's still young. I quite like that. But, you know, Central had some, have some good players. It's fair enough.
Yeah.
Any particular reason you would have Montego over Drummond?
Drummond's field goal percentage dropped quite drastically this season. It's because Stan Van Gundy tried giving him more of a post-up role. So instead of him being mainly an offensive rebounder, put-back player, Stan tried playing in the post. And he's learning from it, but his field goal percentage was much lower last season because of that.
Well, as you say, that was because of the coach, the way he was playing him. I mean, this team, the knobs he'd get from Irving and LeBron.
Yeah, but I'm just saying from a standpoint of Mozgov was impressive at a rim.
Was good.
Impressive defensively, whereas Drummond's numbers dropped. So where this team is based on last season, last season's performances, that's why I choose Mozgov over Drummond.
I saw a lot more Mozgov when he went to the Cavs because I didn't see much of him in the Nuggets, but he impressed me. He's got good hands for a big man.
Did anyone watch the Nuggets?
I did watch a couple of times. He's pretty much the same player when he went to the Cavs. I don't think his numbers probably dropped. Maybe like a bit of points, but that was about it.
Oh, yeah,
Mozgov, his straight up game is unbelievable. I love watching him jump up in the air. He's so good. Abs of steel. That guy's fantastic.
Southeast Division. John Wall's point guard.
Unanimous.
Oh, how unanimous except small forward this position. So we had John Wall, Dwayne Wade, then skipping small forward for a minute, we went power forward, Chris Bosh, and then centre. That was a tough choice, but we all went for Horford.
Yeah.
Players like Vucevic and stuff, which was tempting, but Horford is just that better player.
Horford's the all-round player, whereas obviously you have Whiteside in a similar conversation, but Whiteside isn't great on his offence. His defence, obviously, got a triple-double against the Bulls with just blocks as well.
Mm.
So that was impressive, but Horford does it on both ends. He's got the offensive game. He's great defensively, so we had to put Horford over Vucevic as well.
Now, the small forward situation, it just really depends what you look for. We went, Kyle Korver was one option, just getting in three-pointers if you want to go offense. But if you want to go to the other side, I think you point out Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah, his on-ball defense is amazing.
Mm.
And obviously, he's hired a coach to work on his shot.
It's getting better.
So it used to be like really ugly outside of the... Yeah, something like that, something really ugly. So he's...
Oh, cheers.
So shot selection and his obviously shooting motion's improved. And his defence hasn't changed at all, so that's why I choose Kidd-Gilchrist over Korver.
Well, Wall's going to get your points, Wade's going to get your points, Bosch is going to get your points, and Horford. And their all-outside game isn't elite like Korver's, but it's existing. And I think I would actually go for Kidd-Gilchrist. In that system, I'll go Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you're going to lose is the three-point shot.
Yeah.
And you can... I mean, like you said, they're not all good... They're not good three-point shooters, but they can shoot three-pointers, you know.
I think Korver, he doesn't get... He's a great three-point shooter, but what, he gets 9 points a game? Something like that? I don't know if it's up there. A bit better than that, okay. But he doesn't get that many threes.
It's like inconsistent. It'll go from 9 to like 19 or something.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I went off him when I was watching the Bucks and Knicks because he had that streak on the line.
Oh, what was that? Yeah. The London game?
No, yeah, sorry, it was for Hawks, wasn't it? And he just sort of started jacking up shots because his streak was on the line.
Yeah.
Like 10 or something like that.
Yeah, but he had a good streak, so fair enough too. Curry's going to be that streak hands down though, let's face it. Right, Northwest.
Everyone agreed.
Yeah, everyone agreed. Go on.
We went for Russell Westbrook running the point, Wiggins running the two, Durant at the three, Ibaka at the four, and your man...
Rudy Gobert.
The Stifle Tower.
He's looking good. We had a few choices at centre, didn't we? But we thought Gobert was a logical choice.
Yeah, he was the better. Who else did we have at centre?
Stephen Adams.
I love Stephen Adams. I think he's great. As long as he doesn't get his foul trouble. He needs to take some Mozgov straight up lessons. That's what he needs. I can't think
of who he is. Right, so what is...
You were talking about Pekovic. You threw
Pekovic. Oh, yeah, Pekovic.
Pekovic, Gobert. That's really it, actually. Kanter.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them have left this year, and they like Rolo and Mozgov and everything, so...
Yeah, big shout-out to OKC for matching on Kanter. So we've got Amir Perry Jones III.
Perry Jones III. Take
that.
take their hands out. Pacific, this is a bit tricky because they're probably the two best point guards in the league.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, Steph Curry.
So we had Paul at the point guard and Curry at the shooting guard.
Yeah, I think if you look at the fact that Steph Curry can shoot three and, you know, they're going to share it anyway, but Paul's got a better assist-to-turnover ratio, which is always better to have the ball handler.
Yeah.
With that, obviously.
No, that makes sense. I would have Curry as more of a... If you're going to have one to spot up shoot, it would be Curry, wouldn't it?
I think, so, yeah, if you add the fact that Curry can now run about and lose his man off that way, you're going to have a three-point shooter that's going to be even more deadly because he's going to bring it up sometimes, get his three-point shots from that, and then he can do off-the-ball running and stuff to get other shots, which would add to his arsenal of new shot or his arsenal of scoring.
Mm. We'll skip some more forward for a second, then we went point guard, point power forward and centre as Blake Griffin and Boogie Cousins. Pretty obvious answers. Boogie's the machine and Blake, so yeah. Fair enough. I'm not surprised why DeAndre Jordan didn't get in there, let's face it, right. Small forward, this is pretty tough actually. I mean, we went for Iguodala, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We did.
Because he's the best.
He's good. But he didn't have his best season. He had finals MVP, but the rest of the year wasn't that good. So I thought I'd just note down an argument for Rudy Gay. He's not the worst player in the world, but I prefer Riggy as well. And then you could always play Draymond Green as small forward as well. But he's more of a power forward, so it's got to be Iguodala.
Yep, and the fact that he was playing as a sick man. And even through the playoffs, he weren't great because he was still playing off that sick man. And then the finals, obviously, he won it because he started and was playing more minutes.
Doing a lot better. Now, Southwest, we went Mike Conley as a point guard because Tony Parker's gone a bit ski-whiff in his career recently. Patrick Beverley isn't as good as Mike Conley, so we went for Mike Conley. And D-Will is, well, let's just say Mike Conley. James Harden, a shooting guard, I mean, it pains me to put him in. He's probably the best shooting guard in the Southwest. Kawhi Leonard at the small forward. Yeah. Sorry, Parsons, but Kawhi is a beast. And then for power forward and centre, we just put down Win.
Yeah, you can put anyone in there and you've won.
You got Dirk, Duncan, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Gasol.
Zebo.
Dwight Howard.
Anthony
Davis.
We
should put him as playing both.
Davis and Davis.
Yeah, just play four versus five. I think they'll still win.
I would have Anthony Davis definitely in, just because of age and peak. And then either
Duncan,
Dirk, Howard, any of the others.
I'd put Duncan.
I'd play Davis power forward and I'd put Gasol at the centre.
Would you?
Not Gasol.
Yeah, just because of age and the fact that with Duncan, because he's quite, not similar, but sort of their game to Davis, I'd take Davis over Duncan, obviously, at the moment.
Yeah. No, I think I'd have Davis at a four, Duncan at a five, just because Duncan, he's on restricted minutes, but still his IQ is one of the best in the league. So I think he would sort of mentor Anthony Davis. He would make him pick up on his mistakes in game. And obviously, would you really want to go against those two players?
No, I wouldn't want to go against any of these players, to be quite honest, because that defence, I mean, apart from Harden, Conley, Leonard and the bigs, phenomenal. I mean...
Well, you can even switch it up and have time. Like, for argument's sake, like, obviously we know James Harden's the best shooter guy in the league, but if you want an all-defensive team, put Tony Allen in there.
Tony Allen, first team, all defence!
First team,
our
defense!
I have to put Dirk in on the homer, aren't I? So I'll have Dirk for the game winners and then just have anyone else, probably Davis.
That's why you have James Harden for the game winners.
But it would make sense to have Davis and Gasol.
Yeah, that's what I'd go with.
Yeah. Now, there was a couple of highlights that you wanted to talk about, sort of nice highlights that you enjoyed throughout the season. One of them was that Anthony Davis amazing double pump game winner. Tucker Bell buzzer.
It's great. Especially, it's against OKC, and that game gets them a playoff spot, really. And I
know it's changed.
It was earlier in the season, yeah, but that, still, it was a sweep.
It was only a couple of weeks before,
though. It went too far before the end of the season. And
that game completely changed.
Well, they get into the playoffs by what, one game, is it?
Yep.
So.
No, it was before All-Star break, wasn't it? Because obviously Kevin Durant didn't play All-Star because he was injured, then afterwards he stayed out the rest of the season.
I'm pretty sure. I thought it was only like a couple of weeks before the season. But they won by one game. Obviously, the game they took away KC, and that changed a heck of a lot.
Yeah.
And Spurs losing as well. That changed a lot of the league. But it was great. I mean, 1 point something left. Anthony Davis hitting the three. That's probably, as a coach, you would probably take that as a game-winning shot.
Yeah, you got to give it to your best player, right now. There's no questions about that.
No, I mean, that's a defensive point of view. Like,
Yeah.
Have anyone to say game, should you think, oh, Davis, you know,
he
knocked it down. It wasn't even a backboard effort. It was boom.
But then they know they're going to get to Davis, so your defense should be good. You should be double teaming him anyway. It's a big point.
You wanted to talk about an unorthodox Blake Griffin play?
Yeah, he falls for the pump fake, but then, you know,
pure athleticism.
It's good. It's a classic Reggie Miller presence of mind to think, I could still get the ball here if I just turn and look, and he gets it. Good block. Good play by Blake.
Next one, I quite like this one, because I'm not the biggest sort of, like, dunk fan. I prefer sort of, like,
blocks.
I think it's because I'm white and I can't dunk and I can't block. I just like
play.
Difficult shooting and play, ball movement and stuff. But this, I can't not give him credit for. Boogie Cousins playing point centre, Bill Russell style, just absolutely destroying my boy Bay Crowder. He murdered him. He's a dead man.
Jay Crowder can still taste him to his day. He's that dirty.
He's got that thigh sweat from Boogie. Just nastiness.
Seriously, sweat, is that what it was?
Seriously, if he was Jay Crowder looking at Boogie Cousins running down a court, would you think, I'm going to take his charge? It was props to him for wanting to take it.
Boston fans love that stuff.
Yeah, I love a hustle, but there's loving hustle, then there's, you're going to die.
He's a dead man. R.I.P. Bay. Any of the other ones that you want to talk about?
Quite a few. The one that obviously I liked a lot was Mike Scott on Bradley Beal.
See, this is the sort of thing that I like, but I'm not the biggest fan of, because I'm not the massive fan of dunks. But it was, out of all the players, Mike Scott to do it. And Bradley Beal's athletic as well.
Yeah, Bradley Beal's brilliant, but the way that Mike Scott obviously just rises up, and it's, I think as well, it's just because it's in front of a crowd. The cock back and the crowd just lose it because it is that intense.
Yeah. There was a highlight that we were going through before this pod, and we didn't really put it in just because it was a Dwight Howard one, wasn't it? Because it was an away game.
It was a Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, the Wiggins one.
Yeah.
It was a great block, but because it was away, the crowd weren't really into it, and so it wasn't as...
Why'd you do that for?
It was good, the movement, because obviously Wiggins was posting up on James Harden, got past him.
The MVP Harden.
Definitely. Definitely, but you don't go to a room with Dwight Howard in that paint.
Yeah, well, that's a learning curve for the rookie, but he had a great year. Speaking of rookies, and speaking of MVP Harden, Nerlens Noel.
I've been so big on him for a long time.
Yeah, you were big up Noel before he even played a game. But when he was injured all the year, you were like, Noel next year. Mate, next year, Noel.
It's because he had such good promise as well, like watching college games and seeing how good he was with his defense.
Did you like his haircut? Admit it.
That's what I was going to say. But his defensive presence of mind as well. He controls that pain, and obviously James Harden coming up to the end of a quarter, he's like, nope, I've got this. Noel, no you don't.
Yeah, no, big balls for the rookie.
Yeah, it's a reverse of the Dwight Howard, Andrew Wiggins. It's the MVP experienced player thinks he can take on the rookie. He goes, no, get out of here.
You kind of wanted to talk about that hype train you're on.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
Chugga-chugga-choo-choo.
Yep, obviously what we wanted to do is discuss players that we've enjoyed this season that's not on teams that we follow. But I've been on a point guard hype lately, and Westbrook's one of them.
Yeah, you were saying he's your he's in your top two.
He's in my top two point guards in the league.
Ahead of MVP Steph Curry.
Yeah.
That's bold.
It's not bold. Being an MVP of a team...
It's at least italics.
Underline. But it's in Comic Sans, though.
I think...
That's soft.
I know it's not the point that we're making. We're not talking about MVP, but the most valuable players for that franchise. But Steph Curry was surrounded with good players, whereas James Harden wasn't, so that's why I think Harden over.
Oh, shots fired at Rockets squad.
Yeah, that's why. They didn't really have any.
I'll take Davis, Anthony Davis.
Got him into the playoffs.
At a worse team.
The thing that bothered me about the Westbrook thing, that was indirectly to do with Westbrook, actually, he had to take over a team through injuries, right? So he started to get 40, 10, and 10, and all these stupid
numbers. Well, yeah, he finished off averaging 28, 7, and 8.
Phenomenal numbers, and that was mainly due to that spell where he was getting thirds, triple doubles, and then 40 point games. But then when Love and Irving went down in the playoffs, and LeBron started to get these 40 point games and triple doubles, he got like a few triple doubles in a row. People were saying this is the best spell of any basketball player in history and everything. Westbrook was doing it the season before, like a few months before.
Well, how many triple doubles consecutively? 8 or 9?
He wasn't getting nowhere near his credit. No one was saying this is the best spell of any player ever.
Mm.
Now, don't get me wrong, what LeBron was doing was fantastic, but Westbrook did virtually the same thing.
Yeah. But he was shooting a lot worse.
Yeah, his field goal percentage.
LeBron shot 20% from three in the during that spell.
That's three. That's not
field
goal percentage.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying.
That's like he takes five three-pointers a game and just scores one of them. That's not terrible, is it?
It's pretty bad. Still getting like 20% is pretty bad from the best spell in NBA history standards.
Yeah, but that's like anyone. You can't just say, like Tim Duncan, the best power forward, oh, he can't shoot threes though.
Yeah, no, but that's not his game. LeBron's supposed to be able to shoot a three.
He can, but which was that one spell. It was the best spell, all right? I'll give
I was just saying it was incredibly similar to Russell Westbrook's. And, like, I don't know. I think just, ESPN's fault. I blame them.
It's bigger stage. So I think LeBron was better than Westbrook's. But,
again, it's for usage rate. Yeah. So LeBron obviously shot that low because of a usage rate, but we're not talking about LeBron, we're talking about Russell Westbrook, the second best point guard in the league.
Fair enough. So
he can do it all. He's athletic, cuts to a basket, great driver, great dunker. He can pull up from 30, pull up from 40.
I don't think his 3-point percentage, Westbrook, is pretty garbage.
No, I think his weakness lies within
his vision and distribution.
His distribution, like, it's improved since seasons ago when he was dubbed Russell Westbrook, and obviously it's for decision making, because obviously you've got two superstars and one wants to take a game winner, whereas the other one also wants to take a game winner. Yeah. So it's just for decision making, really.
I think Westbrook's a phenomenal player, and he's probably in the top 10 in the league at the moment as far as players go, let alone position. So, but if you look at his career shooting numbers from three, it's really bad. Like, some seasons he shot in the 20s, percentage-wise, like 28%, things like that. But that is at a high volume. He still shouldn't be doing that if he shoots that number. But, yeah, he needs to distribute it a bit more to become the complete player.
Yeah, obviously he's coming out of... Well, when he was coming out of college, he was naturally a two-guard anyway, so he's still got that two-guard mentality at times.
He should be really a two, like, he would be a great two guard. Mm. But I think because they just don't have another point guard and Westbrook wants a ball, he's become a point guard. But he would be a phenomenal two guard. Best two guard in the league, probably.
Can I just say, it's weird. I don't think he's the second best point guard in the league. But then I think he's one of the best franchise players in the league that could get you to the playoffs with a crap team.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, whereas I don't think, I mean, Irving showed that he couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe Oklahoma's team is a bit better. That's why he's done a bit better. But then players like...
But then the conference...
Yeah, difference. So I would take Russell Westbrook over them players as a... if I wanted to try and just build a team around him. Whereas I'd rather take Irving as a building block.
The thing is, the reason why I took Westbrook as my second is Chris Paul's got, as you were saying, the assist to turnover ratio is brilliant. His vision's amazing. He's shooting.
He's got the defense.
He's got a great shot. He's got a great defense. So I'd have him as my number one naturally. The reason why I've put Westbrook number two instead of Steph is that I think Westbrook...
A bit more explosive.
Yeah, Westbrook's more explosive. And I think as well, he's just better at getting to the rim as well. Obviously, Steph's got the nice little kiss off the glass.
I think Curry's really added to his game in that front.
I think Curry's defence isn't as great as Westbrook's as well.
Fair to say. I think he's actually stepped up defence.
Yeah, I think he's stepped up.
Kerr gave him that bit more responsibility because he always put Clay, Mark Jackson always put Clay on the point guard and Steph Curry less exposed. But the moment Kerr came in, he was like, no, you're Mark the point guards. And I think he actually did better because of it.
It's debatable between two and three.
Because even though Westbrook is phenomenal, he does have that little downside where sometimes he can do a bit too much. Sometimes out of necessity, but I think a little bit too much. And I think Curry, he could be more selfish if he wanted to. I don't know. I wanted to talk about one player, actually, I enjoyed this year. Steve Nash. That might be down on a lot of people's list, but he only played 2 or 3 games in the end.
Something like that.
But when he did play, I mean, he's 41, had all these back injuries. He played pretty good still. And he got the little assist record and then managed to retire, which was nice. And I know he's in a trash Lakers side and everything like that, but he's a real pleasure to watch. You watch him and he just you enjoy watching him play basketball.
Yeah, it's going to be the same as people like Tim Duncan, though. You just know you're watching quality, so you know it's there, but you know you're just watching aged quality. So.
Yeah. Anyone you want to talk about?
Yeah, Gordon Hayward, love him. He's fantastic. Top 5 small forwards in the league, in my opinion. But, I mean, it doesn't say much because there ain't...
It's
not that deep.
Small forward is deep. It's one of the deepest positions.
Yeah, of average people. When you get the quality...
When you want superstars.
You get LeBron, forwards. KD.
Paul George, Melo.
Melo, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard.
It's defensive, though. I would take him, not off the list, but... put him a bit down because of that offensive game he hasn't developed yet.
Yeah. So you would have him in about that kind of argument, though?
Leonard,
No, Hayward. Do you have it around the
corner? I don't know, around there. Yeah, I'd probably say... Well, I don't want to say something stupid, but he's up there. I know he is.
Hey, you can have your favourite players. It's like, fine. I think, you know, I'm so high on Ellis as a shooting guard and as a player, but he wouldn't be on high on many people's Davis's list. It's just who you're watching, who you enjoy.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed him last season. I mean... he just played really well, got loads of blocks, got loads of good highlight plays. If you watch his highlight mix, it's about 8 minutes long and it's all fantastic.
Yeah.
Game winner against the Cavs, block against LeBron, then goes down and dunks. Not a great dunk, just dunks it though. But then he's got other posters and he's got some probably underrated dunks this season. I think he should have been, the NBA put their top 10 dunks up and it was it Shabazz Napier's dunk?
No, it was James Ennis.
That's it. Yeah, I know it's Pete.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. It's good dunk, I like it. But then there's so many dunks people just don't look at. I prefer a centre or a power forward going up, reaching up, and the player makes contact and just still gets it in. I think that's a better dunk than... I mean, even DeMarcus Cousins' dunk, it's a good dunk, but where it's not... It's contested in a way, but it's not like...
He had a long run-up, didn't he?
It's not, a crowd that could get the ball by any chance. He set that screen, so then the charge, which he did get. So he, there's... It's either you get the charge or you don't. There's no like in between, really.
Yeah.
So I like a bit of contact at the rim.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Okay, right. Go game time?
Mm-hmm.
Game time. Off you go, Joe.
Me? Okay. I'll start you off.
This is our mystery player. It'll give us clues. We have to try and guess who it is. Quite simple.
Okay. Right. 1987. Draft 18th pick.
Okay. Yes. So 84 was Jordan, so this is 3 years later. 18th pick. Okay. Next clue.
It was a 1988 Rookie of the Year, or Roy.
Brandon Roy, 1988 Rookie of the Year. Oh, I'm liking these. Go on.
Played for Knicks, Clippers, Pacers, Nuggets, Raptors, Jazz, and Rockets.
Say them teams again for me.
He played for the Knicks, the Clippers, the Pacers, the Nuggets, the Raptors, the Jazz, and the Rockets.
The Clippers, Pacers. Is it Mark Jackson?
He's only gone and got it.
Yeah.
Other clues. Averages of 9.6 points per game. 8 assists per game, 1.2 steals per game. His initials are MJ, which I was going to say, but the one I thought might have given it away was 4th in assists.
Oh, yeah, he was high on that. Lucky I watched that Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I thought
you know, that helped me, gave me some Mark Jackson knowledge. Do you want to go next, then?
Yeah, I'll crack on. Very simple one. 3 times NBA champion.
Okay.
12 times All-Star.
Okay.
Stuck with his team his whole career.
Dwayne Wade.
No.
Oh, no, he's 3-time champ. I was going to say David Robinson. But it's three-time champ. Okay.
Okay, I'll go Kevin McHale.
Very close.
Robert Perry. No, he won't go with Perry, should he?
Larry 12-time.
Jerry's got it.
Larry Bird.
The one that was going to give it away was he's the only person to win Executive Coach and MVP of the year.
Oh, we've got that. And Rookie of the Year.
And Rookie of the Year, yeah.
He was everything, that man. Okay, Mom. All right, let's get this up. I'm getting...
He's got their Wikipedia page. No. Born Michael J. Jordan. Oh, I don't know what his name is.
Jeffrey.
Right, yeah.
His nickname is AI.
No, Andre Iguodala.
Andre Iguodala, it is. Right, three-time champ.
Larry Bird.
Dwayne Wade.
He averaged 17.9 points, 7.3 rebounds.
So he's a bigger player. Could be a smaller player.
Three times champ.
So 18 and 7, let's say, rounding up and down.
Yeah.
Any other guesses?
No.
Seven-time All-Star.
One, three.
He was in the NBA 50 Best Player Anniversary. Three-time First Defensive Player of the Year and three times All-Defensive Second Player of the, Second Team.
Got any more?
He was the Sixth Man of the Year.
It's a bit of a random one.
Yeah.
You've got obscure, haven't you?
No, this is actually quite a famous player.
Three-time
champ. He's a big...
Can you give us an error, or is that too?
Error might give it away, but I'll give a couple of more. Currently a coach, and he's in a famous duo. Come on, boys.
Coach.
Sixth man. Not really known for being a sixth man, though, but early in his career was.
Currently a coach.
Kevin McHale.
Oh. Yeah, Larry Bird and Kevin McGarry, yeah, three times champ, seven All-Star. He was two-time or one-man sixth man of the year. He was
sixth
up there.
Sixth man? What?
Oh, I know.
That's ridiculous.
Because they had some good players when he was young. Oh, pardon me. So, everyone actually guessed right.
Yeah.
Last game, only I got one, wasn't it? Moses Malone, so.
Yeah.
We're either getting worse at picking players or we're getting better at guessing.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Wrap up a couple of little things. D-Will did actually confirm with the Mavs. 2-year deal. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be crap?
I like it. New fresh start. You know, he played well at the Jazz before he went to the Nets, and the Nets was just a bit rubbish. It was a bit
He had nothing to play for, did he, really?
They chucked loads of money at it and thought, yeah, here you go. And you had Adrian, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett, which, you know, they're good players, but they're getting old. I mean, Paul Pierce. Better than Kevin Garnett at the moment.
Obviously. I just think it adds a new dynamic to your team. You've not had a point guard like...
Since Jason Kidd.
Yeah. You've got a second player that can now fade away from outside the key.
Yeah. He's a... He can get 17, 18 points a season. Okay, I only got 13 last year, but his career averages is like 16, 17 points. He always gets assists. He's a big body. If he's healthy and he's happy because he'll be at home, it could actually be a great signing. Unfortunately, his second year is an option. So if he has a good first year, he's going to opt out and expect to be paid. So that's the worry. Anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
I wanted to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
If you could take away a player in the NBA history who's been injured, like with a probably career-threatening injury.
Take away that injury?
Yeah. And obviously, then their career just pans out.
Well, there's a lot of ones that come to mind that are older, but I would go Grant Hill because he got his injury so young, and he was supposed to be MJ / LeBron / like everyone. He was supposed to be so good, and I didn't really watch basketball, so I don't back then. Didn't really know him personally as a mate, but. it's a shame because Grant Hill and Jason Kidd always had that kind of like, you know, rivalry, and it would have been quite nice to see.
Yeah, that's right. I like that because they both won Rookie of the Year that season.
They shared it, yeah.
And I think that could have happened this year if Jabari Parker could have stayed
Healthy.
That would have been a nice contest, and I think they might Wiggins might have played a bit better if he was going for that.
So Jabari Parker is going to have a Grant Hill injury plagued career confirmed.
Confirmed. You heard it here first.
Damn shame.
No, I don't want that.
I'll wait on getting the Parker Bucks jersey then.
Get a Parker Madrid jersey or something like that.
Yeah. Fenerbahce, Parentage.
Yeah.
I'll go Grant Hill.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. If you can, I'll get the highlight of him dunking on Alonso Mourning.
It has to be done.
A great dunk.
Oh, no, I want to get highlights of him doing inside stuff with Christian Lindlow.
That's the stuff.
Oh, I've never watched inside stuff, but that's a story for another day.
I've watched it a few times, pretty good. It ain't too bad. It's okay.
Is it the stuff?
It is the stuff. It's been a while.
Your pick, Sam. I mean, it was your question. I'm sure you had someone in mind.
I had two, but it's not really an injury. What if we've...
Oh, I know he's coming. I know he's coming. Go on.
What if Len Bias?
What if?
Len Bias. What was supposed to be...
The next MJ.
Next MJ, and he was supposed
before
to be...
MJ.
The Boston Celtics... Replacement
of Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Because Larry was going to retire.
The next step.
Yeah.
Because Larry had an interview with Bill Simmons, said if Len Bias obviously panned out...
He would have retired that year, yeah.
He would have retired for the season after.
Man, crazy, crazy.
Then just a shout out to Charlie with Derek Rose.
Oh, yeah, our friend the Bulls fan. He loved Derek Rose. That's why he's a Bulls fan, because of Derek Rose.
But Derek Rose, that MVP season was fantastic.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a team game, and who won that year?
Who did win that year?
Mavs won that year, no. Yeah, no, it's a shame with Derek Rose, because... The thing is, again, the one injury is bad, but then it's every year he was getting it.
Yeah,
and
but
then
obviously
the jokes,
it's a continuous thing.
Incident era hurt him as well, with constant barrage of jokes. I mean, I'm sure it didn't affect him, but like as far as...
It's more of a confidence thing, because obviously if you go down injured with an ACL, and you're going to either worry about it or just get on with it. Whereas, what did Westbrook have? Westbrook had something with his knee, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had a lot of knee problems, yeah.
Whereas he sort of got over it. In the sense of he was like, oh, I'm going to come out, I'm still going to be athletic, I'm still going to do this.
Yeah, they went in two different directions. Westbrook said, this is how I play, this is me. Rose thought, I can't have this done again.
I need to adjust for what I play.
I need to adjust. But I think that maybe that hurt Rose because he's too busy thinking about it and second guessing and maybe pull out of jumps and say you land funny.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about that. Is there anyone else? I mean, you...
Larry Bird's back.
No, but definitely, actually, that's a good... Because I just want him playing for... I still want him playing now. He could do a job for the Pacers, spot up shoot. Oh, I want him. He could replace Paul George.
I was going to say Dominic Wilkins. I know you said he was a bit later in his career, but he was still playing as good as he was all his career. He weren't deteriorating. Got his AC...
Achilles.
That's it, Achilles. Anyway, he got that when... Atlanta Hawks were still competing for championships, and he got that, and as soon as that happened, he had one more season, I think, then, and they just shipped him off somewhere else because he weren't playing as well.
Yeah. Who did Wilkins go to? I thought he played for
the Celtics, Clippers, and then he went and played for Olympiacos.
Oh, right. See, when you say that, I remember him, he played for the Clippers, but I didn't realise he played for the Celtics.
Yeah.
For all of, like, 2 seconds. See? Pretty much everyone else in the NBA, and then... You eventually caught up with him and he went and played in Europe.
Fair enough. Anyone else for the injuries? Not off the top of my head, really. There's been so... Greg Oden could be an option. But I don't know if he... A lot of people question his mentality as well, but he might just be confidence knocked because of them injuries. Not too sure. And we'll see with Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
He could be devastating. Because, I mean, I've only seen a little bit of Embiid, but his post moves are phenomenal. And he's so big. I really want him healthy, because I like the Sixers. They deserve a bit of luck. They deserve...
Well, hopefully he comes back and wins Rookie of the Year in 2018.
He will be, actually. That'd be terrible. 3 years in the league, he'll be a rookie.
Yeah, he'll be the oldest rookie taking over from... what's his name there? Italian geezer. Not Italian. Argentinian, is he? New York. Peroni. No, it's not him.
Prigioni.
Yeah. Oldest rookie, you're like 37. Joel Embiid will be that 41. Like, do a bite, heads. Hook shots.
Okay, well, that was episode 6. I thought a not bad episode, seeing as there's nothing happening in the NBA.
Yeah. Rumours and stuff, but it's there's no point in speculating. Last time we did that, DeAndre Jordan said, "No, I want to go back to Clippers."
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Join us for episode 7, where we don't even know what we're talking about. But take it easy for now.